Ramsey TV.
The chlorine really did a number on my hair. Look at that. I kind of like it. And I especially like it because it's backlit. These things are important. And these things are entertaining. These things are fun. So I bring this to you unapologetically with vim and vigor. Naturally, this is Martin Zender in paradise. And yet somehow it doesn't feel like paradise. It's weird. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where I am on this planet. As I told you, I'm done with this planet. What you need to know is that I quit the gym here in Fort Lauderdale. It was called LA Fitness. First of all, I'll tell you this. You need me to go to the gym because it is so lonely. Here's my place right here. I mean, it's a wonderful place, but I'm telling you, there it is. Kind of give you a look there at the cottage. Sorry, my windows are kind of dirty. There's Charles down here. He's monitoring the show for me. He's the official program engineer here today, but it's lonely, honestly. And so I need some kind of social life. So I go to the gym, and I recommend that to you. It seems like when you're moving, motion is life. Motion is youth. But up here at LA Fitness, like, the people were too cool for school. You know, they're all that at LA Fitness. And it's not my kind of people. So I quit there and I joined the YMCA down at Hallandale Beach. Sorry, I have to keep an eye on Charles, make sure he doesn't. Where are you, Charles? I went down to Hallandale Beach, which is halfway between here and Miami. It's a YMCA. It's more family-oriented. People are more relaxed. You know, there's 80-year-old women doing the little hand pedal thing, you know. That's what I like to see. That's what I like to see. Those are my people. I feel a kinship with that 80-year-old woman, even though I'm working out a little harder than her. But anyway, that covers that material. Let me look for Charles here real quick. Where are you, Charles? All right, I have to find Charles before I can relax here. But I want to talk to you about Satan as the prodigal son. This is a real revelation. I have to tell you about this because... Oh, there he is. All right, Charles, quit making me nervous here, kid. The prodigal son is actually one of my favorite parables in the scripture, because there's a startling thing about the prodigal son. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I take a unique lesson away from the prodigal son, and that is this, that, are you ready for this? This is going to be a little shocking. It's better to sin. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not recommending anybody sin, but in the grand scheme of things, Charles, come on, you're getting too far down the driveway. It's better to sin and repent and return than never to have sinned at all. Why do I say this? Because look at the resentment of the prodigal son's brother, who did everything right all the time, never went off the reservation, just point for point. He did everything his father wanted. And what does he end up appreciating anything? He ends up being bitter. He ends up being bitter that his brother, who went off the reservation, repented, and came back. He's bitter that his father threw a big party for him. But what does scripture say, right? That basically heaven does throw a party for a sinner who repents. Oh, there goes Charles down there. Charles, come here. I can't believe this. He never does this. Oh my God. You might as well watch the adventure here. I didn't plan on this naturally, but I'm gonna switch the camera around so you can see this nut job. Charles, he's being very disobedient. Charles, come on. I might have to pull the alpha voice on him. See, he already knows. He already knows. Alpha's here. Charles. Look at him. Are you the prodigal son, Charles? Yeah, he knows the alpha's here. Look at him. Charles, you know you're not supposed to do that. You're too far away. What are you doing, Charles? Yeah, okay. I'll forgive you, but... I'm glad you know who's in charge here, kid. You get in that submissive position. All right, come on. Let's go this way. Come on. See? Now he's with the program. All right. Come on. Yeah, now he's running. That's a boy. So, the prodigal... See, this is... I'm not recommending go out and sin so that heaven will rejoice when you come back. I'm looking at the grand scheme. I'm looking at humanity as a whole. It's necessary that humanity as a whole takes this path of death and sin, because only then is it prepared for the joy of the Father's embrace. And so the depth of the love of the Father's embrace is emphasized because of the departure. The prodigal son's departure was absolutely critical. That's why this parable is in the scripture, because it shows you the softness of a heart that goes away, lives wantonly and comes back, which is all humanity, right? God locks up all together in stubbornness. As an Adam, all are dying. Everything has to go down that path in order to return richer and fuller. And for those who think, why does God do it this way? Why couldn't he just have started everything perfect, kept everything perfect? Because it's for the drama. You can see the result of that. The result of that is in the brother. The brother is bitter. The brother is pretty much upset. The brother has really, I don't know if I want to say no appreciation, but yes, I actually will say that. The brother has no appreciation, but the prodigal does. You can see this epic reunion, and the father is waiting for him to come back. It's not like God is waiting. God is orchestrating this whole thing. God doesn't sit there and hope people come back. In the parable, I suppose, he's hoping his son will come back, and he does. And in the big scheme of things, I'm not recommending anything individually for anybody, but in the big scheme of things, it is definitely better to sin and return than never to sin at all, and it's because of the appreciation level. Now, to the point at hand, I see Satan as the ultimate prodigal son. You remember that verse that says, whoever is forgiven much loves much. So, I know how Christians hate Satan, and they resent Satan, and they want Satan to get punished, and they hate Satan. They would even hate it more when Satan is brought back to the fold, because, forget Satan, you talk about Hitler. When you mention to any Christian that Hitler is going to be where we are someday in the fullness of time, Hitler's going to be judged, yes, but they hate the idea. They're bitter about the idea. I tell you, Christianity is like the prodigal son's brother. It's like the elder brother. In their estimation, they think they did everything right. And the prodigal son's brother, I don't think that guy did everything right. And yet he comes off like, I did everything you want. I never squandered anything. I've obeyed all your rules. So there is the law. There is a picture of somebody who does everything right, and yet there's this even life. And there might be something to an even life, but there's even more to an extreme that's really elucidated for us in one verse, Romans 11:32. God locks up all together in stubbornness that he should have mercy on all. 1 Corinthians 15, again, 21-22, that verse works every time. As an Adam all are dying, also in Christ shall all be vivified. In Colossians 1, Christ is called the firstborn of all creation. What does God do? Sends all creation down the path of the prodigal. Sends them off to get lost, right? Jesus Christ came to save the lost. Everybody's lost. So, the world at large goes, including us, goes down this path of wanton living, only to find out that it's empty. You don't know it's empty until you go there. Again, I'm not recommending individually that any of you go out and test this, but I'm saying as a race of Adam, this is exactly what has happened. God has sent the entire race out on the path of the prodigal to discover through this life, through the trials of this life, that this life does not satisfy. There's no political system that satisfies. There's not enough money that satisfies. Charles Chase chasing a lizard now. That's good, as long as he's around here. I pulled the alpha on him. Kid's got to learn, you know. The kid has got to learn. So imagine this. Satan as the ultimate prodigal. Satan goes out. And indeed, God sent him out. And he's on a long, long leash. And I think the time will come. I know the time will come. I know the time will come. But it won't be until the better part of an eon and part of another eon in the lake of fire. Where it's the lake of fire where Satan will... Well, let me say this. The lake of fire where Satan will be for the eons of the eons. That will be to Satan what the... drinking and the gambling and the prostitution was to the prodigal son. Well, I guess Satan's kind of in his heyday now. He's in the, still in the stage of prostitution, gambling, and drinking. But he will come to the pigsty. He will come to be begging. He will come to be poor. That will happen in the lake of fire. And he will come at to the end of all his resources, just like the prodigal son did. And when he gets to the end of his resources, then he will come to his senses through trial. The prodigal, there it is, that parable. It says it all. Through trial. It must be through trial. It must be through pressure. It must be through a sudden understanding of one's own want. The prodigal ended up wanting, ended up realizing that, oh, in my father's house, it was so great. I always had enough to eat there. But again, you can see the celebration and the hugging and the killing of the fatted calf. You can see all that happening because the prodigal went out. That wouldn't have happened if he hadn't have gone out. And again, you see the bitterness and the not so intense reaction, the not so intense appreciation with the brother. And Christianity right now is playing the part of the brother. Just the very idea of Satan returning to God. If the brother had had his way, this is sick of the brother, but the brother would have been happy if his brother had just stayed gone. He gets to hog up all of his father's wealth. He gets his brother's portion of the inheritance because his brother's off. So he's probably happier to think, and I'm sure he was, that, oh, my brother's gone. Well, good. More for me. How selfish, how sick. And to prove it, it's sick. He's pissed when his brother is restored to the father. What a parable. Wow, that not only applies to humanity during the course of the eons, but I believe it applies to Satan. And there will be a great and amazing day when Satan himself will come down that path. And his creator will take him into his arms and will say, it's all right. It's all over now. I love you. I've always loved you. And now you know.